Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I am Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. So we have come to the seventh Sunday in Winter Ordinary Time, our second to last Sunday within this Winter Ordinary Time break. And it is a good thing that this cycle of Luke took us all the way to the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time, because in today's gospel, which we'll get to in a minute, we have basically the kernel, the heart and soul of the gospel message, period. It is what Jesus will say today as we continue in Luke's Sermon on the Plain is really the heart and soul of Jesus' proclamation. And it is something that is repeated in many different ways throughout all of the synoptic gospels. But here we hear it enunciated so wonderfully and so perfectly. We don't often think enough about what Jesus says at this point in the Sermon on the Plain and how it is the blueprint for living our lives as believers in the world. But in reality, it is. In reality, it is. And we need to kind of refocus in that, because this blueprint takes us into Lent, into Easter, and then into the rest of ordinary time in summer and fall that will follow after Easter. So let's get to it on this second to last Sunday in Winter Ordinary Time. We begin, again, remember the first reading always tries to center us in what the gospel is going to be about and how it fulfills what was promised in the Old Testament. So the first book of Samuel, we have David and Saul. Now, again, David has become a rival to Saul, not by David's own desire and by David's own initiative, but because Saul is a very jealous king. Remember, Saul is the first king that God appoints over Israel when Israel asks for a king. He is sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Sometimes he honors God's commandments and God's desires for Israel. Sometimes he goes off again on that Baal business and worshiping this god of fertility and what have you. And basically, God has become displeased with Saul. God is never going to be really happy with any of the kings that are set up. But he doesn't like Saul, and he asks Samuel to go and anoint a successor, and it is David. Saul welcomes David into his court, and everything is fine until David becomes more popular than Saul. And then Saul decides, you know, that he needs to kill David, creating a civil war, technically, within Israel itself. And here we come to this moment in which David is actually winning the civil war, and his armies come upon Saul's armies that are asleep and encamped someplace. He's able to move into the camp, and one of his guards, Abishai, I think his name is, basically says, "Here is Saul, kill him, and kill him with his own sword." And David says, "I will not do this because that is not right. And this is only contributing more to the pain that Saul is causing by all of a sudden hating me and treating me as a threat." And so what he does instead is take Saul's spear and then sends a messenger into Saul's camp and says, "Look, I have your spear. I could have killed you, but I had mercy on you. And because I will not kill the Lord's anointed, because you still are the Lord's anointed, and I want to stop this war." Now, again, it doesn't stop, and Saul eventually will kill himself, and David becomes king because of it. But the sense of mercy, now, again, mercy as it is understood in the Old Testament, mercy which is, I could have done this to you, and I didn't, so you owe me, or you need to respect me, or you need to make sure that you do right by me, and these kinds of things like that. Mercy as a tit for tat is what David is showing. It's noble, it's good, but it's a tit for tat kind of a thing. Now, is that mercy as God desires in the end? Is that mercy as God wants? Well, now we're going to see when we come to the gospel. But before we do that, we have this strange little interlude again with this semi-continuous reading of the first letter to the Corinthians by Paul. We will hear it one more time next weekend, and then that's it. When we come back from Pentecost, we have a variety of solemnities to celebrate on the Sundays that follow Pentecost, and we don't move back into fall. We don't move back into summer and fall ordinary time really until July. So it's a long way away, and we come to Galatians as the semi-continuous reading then. So two more Sundays of Corinthians. What is Paul saying at this point in the letter to the Corinthians? Again, talking about the two different types of humanity that now are present among us because of both Adam, this first man, and Christ. Again, Adam, who is born of the earth, and Christ, who is now born of heaven because he is raised from the dead. Again, it gets kind of technical and kind of theological, and you can lose sight of it because, again, the ancients may have understood this better than we can. The bottom line is, always, is that what Paul tries to say is that we are created for more than we see. We are created for more than than what is on the surface of our earthly lives here. Because Christ becomes one like us and shares all the things that we shared, well, now we may inherit what Christ has inherited. We are meant to become as Christ is. And so we are not just people of the earth, but we are also people of heaven. Again, trying to reignite in some ways what Paul is doing, the sense of our image created in the likeness of God, that divine image, which again is never taken away, which is never diminished, but which needs to be lifted up and acknowledged because of what Christ did for us in becoming one like us. Again, something for us, you know, to consider always. Again, that we are more the image and likeness of God than we are the image of each other. And that has to always take precedence in our lives. And it doesn't. It doesn't. We just see ourselves as filthy, awful sinners. And that's not where Paul is going. That's not where Paul is taking us. He is helping us to remember the more about ourselves that we, for some strange reason, constantly diminish or constantly hide from ourselves. From that, again, we move into the gospel, the continuation of the Sermon on the Plain, Luke chapter 6. If you ever get a chance to even reflect upon the entirety of Luke chapter 6, do it, because it is filled with incredible meaning, again, for what it means to live the life as a believer. And so Jesus goes into a whole bunch of do's, be this kind of person. Recognize that if you're going to follow me and listen to me and become my believer, you act differently in this world. You act in a way that the world does not, you know, understand, the world does not embrace, that can never be found by living in the world itself. And what he does basically, there's a whole lot of words, but it boils down to five ways in which we are to act as believers in the world. The first is to love everyone. Love everyone, including especially your enemies. Because if you only love those who love you, what good is there in that? It's not enough. It's the challenge to move beyond. Love your enemies. Love everyone who persecutes you. Love all those who hate you, make fun of you, whatever it is. Love, love, love. Never forget loving. The second is to forgive. Forgive everyone, everything. Do not hold something in your back pocket to just throw at people, you know, when you want to get back at them for something, because that isn't forgiveness. Forgiveness is this letting go. It is this erasing. It is this moving beyond. It doesn't mean we're not looking for justice, but it doesn't mean that we harbor vengeance and whatever it is in our heart, because that just destroys us in the end. Forgive everyone, everything. Be merciful. Now here, this is where mercy changes in its understanding from what it was that David was doing in that first reading from Samuel, from the first book of Samuel. Mercy is not just saying, you know, I could have killed you, but I didn't. You are now mine. You owe me. Never forget that. It's not tit for tat. What mercy is for Christ is understanding the hills and valleys that each of us travel in our lives. It is moving into understanding each other's life. It is taking that very detailed, time-consuming, you know, exhausting process of entering into each other's lives and knowing what makes each other tick. Why is it that we are the way that we are? Why is it, you know, that we act and respond the way that we do? That is mercy according to Christ. Again, in that way, we build each other up, we lift each other up so that we are not basically lost to each other, or we cannot be easily erased from each other's lives. Give and keep giving. And when you think that you've given enough, rest and give some more. Because there is always opportunity to give. That's what makes us human. That's what makes us glorious in the sight of God, is our ability to give time, talent, treasure, whatever it is. Just keep giving. And after you've done enough, rest and give some more. And then the final one, do not judge. Because judgment belongs to God alone. If the true understanding of mercy rules in your heart, then you cannot just judge, you know, nilly-willy, helter-skelter, whatever it is. You cannot just judge because you think that this person doesn't deserve anything. Do you truly know this individual? Do you truly know what has caused him or her to move to this point in their life where judgment is being issued? If you do not know those things, then judgment cannot be given, and it belongs to God alone. Love, forgive, be merciful, give, do not judge. The heart and soul of the gospel. The heart and soul of what it means to be a believer in this world, not following a whole bunch of commandments, not necessary do's and don'ts, but do you dare to do these incredible things? Because if you do, you will see the answers to all of the problems that we suffer as human beings. You will see a new world and a new creation. You will help this world to become what it is meant to become and allow that reign of God to be witnessed and to be lived in our midst. These five things, the heart and soul of who and what we are as believers, important to hear them, to know them, and now to begin to live them, to live them intensely in the season of Lent, to live them with joy in the season of Easter, and to live them in summer and fall ordinary time, so that the newness of God's love and God's wonder and God's beauty, God's peace, God's holiness may be experienced in us and through us. Peace and all good once again from Franciscan Media. May the Lord give you his peace.